Small Business Spoonfuls is a weekly Q&A with Lisa Smith and Mason Merrill for questions you have about running your business. This podcast is sponsored by HelpDeskSuites.com. You are a busy employer? We are your employment law compliance help desk. Visit HelpDeskSuites.com to find out more about us and become a member today. And now, here's your hosts, Lisa Smith and Mason Merrill.
Welcome back to Small Business Spoonfuls. I'm Lisa Smith.
And I'm Mason Merrill.
And today we are answering some questions that we have been getting a lot lately.
Yep, we are talking about termination.
Yeah, so I fear that a lot of people are losing their jobs out there, and that's not funny, but like in the last month, we've had so many emails about, I'm going to terminate, what do I do, what do I do, how do I keep from getting sued, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, we've also had a lot of questions, like, before really the person is even working at the place, there's been a problem. Like, a drug test showed up after they put the offer in for the employer, or we had one about jury duty the other day, and the person could be gone for months, and the employer wasn't sure if they'd wanted to wait for that long for them to come in. So, with some different things, we just wanted to kind of talk about like a termination type checklist, some questions you can ask yourself in the termination process.
Yeah. So we've got a top 10 list here, and it's not going to be a silly one like David Letterman used to do, but we've got a top 10 thing, you know, set of questions that we're going to go over with you and give you some ideas of, you know, like what questions you should be asking. So
yeah.
Grab a pen and paper and jot this down. You can always stop and rewind if you need to.
Yeah.
But, we want you to, you know, make sure that you get all these.
Yeah. So what we'll kind of do here is I will pose the question to you, and maybe you can kind of talk about it a little bit, the specific question. We'll kind of go through these. We're not going to waste a whole lot of time on them. We don't want to make an hour-long podcast that we probably could make on this topic, but just kind of some overview, some things to think about. So we'll start just here with number one. Was there a specific incident close in time of the discharge?
Okay, yeah, that's an important question to ask, because the specific incident could be the reason that the person's getting terminated, and you want to make sure that that's fully documented, that your side of the story is correct and true, and don't just tickle your own ears and make it sound good for your documentation purposes. Like, really review it with an unbiased eye if you can. But then also, there could be a specific incident that would cause you to get sued for terminating.
Yeah. So you got to really suss that out and ask those questions to yourself to try to figure out who's in the right on this situation.
Exactly.
So the next question is, can the employer show that the employee violated a known policy or law?
Yeah, and so this kind of goes back to the specific incident, but it leans itself now really hard into, can you prove it?
Yep.
So what you say means absolutely nothing unless you've got proof.
Yep, yep. Proof is in the pudding, right?
Yes.
So the next one, are witnesses available? This is a very important one.
Okay, yeah. So now witnesses. Now, are we talking about are witnesses to the incident or the violation available? That's important. But also witnesses to the termination.
Yeah, that's right.
So you don't want to just go in alone with the person you're terminating, because then it's your word against theirs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to have other people looped in. And we've had a lot of questions recently about terminating via email and text message.
Yeah.
And that's not illegal.
Mm-hmm.
It's not advised, but it's not illegal in most states, in most circumstances, I should say.
Yeah.
But that being said, you do have a document showing what you said and what they said. It still might be helpful to loop in a third or fourth party.
Yeah.
Because anybody can alter emails.
Yeah. And you can, you know, if you are going to fire that way, a good thing might be to just do a group chat and prove that everybody's on that chat with everybody's phones, just whoever's, you know, your two people who the person you're terminating, you and another witness into the chat, if that's the way you want to do things, which obviously, like you said, not really advised, but not against the law.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So the next question here is number four, does the employer have documentation to support its reasons for termination?
So there we go back to the incident, proving your work, witnesses. you know, you'll notice a lot of these 10 questions, they play into each other, but it's because it's so important. And if we just ask the question one way, you'll forget about all the other factors, or I will. I don't know about you, but I will. So it's good that this top 10 list encompasses all of this information.
Yeah, that's correct. So number five, did the employee progress all the way through the disciplinary system? Do you have a disciplinary system in place?
That's a better question to ask right there before you can even get to this question.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that everyone has this, you know, sometimes we call it discipline, sometimes we call it corrective action, you know, whatever it is. Okay, fine. It's all the same thing. Are we documenting our steps of, you know, we had the discussion, we had the write-up, we had the write-up again, we had the write-up, we maybe suspended them, we did this, we did that. And now we're at the point where there's nothing left to do except fire them.
Yep, that's right.
So are we, you know, do we have that in place? And if we don't have a formal process in place and we just decide to start it for you,
mm-hmm.
well now, it, you know, why am I just starting it with you?
Yeah.
Because I don't like you, because you're not the right ethnic origin. Like, I don't know, right? I mean,
yeah.
You know, those are the things that are going to be thrown back at you, right? So make sure you are good to go on all levels.
Yep, that's right. Okay, so this next point kind of has an A, B, and C questions to it when it comes to discrimination issues. So first, does the employee belong to a protected minority?
Okay, so very important. So everybody pretty much is in some sort of protected class, but the protected minorities, of course, women, people of any sort of heritage that is non-white. So yeah, we want to definitely ask that question.
Yep. So the next question is, was the treatment given to the employee different from that given to minorities?
Exactly. That's self-explanatory. And when we ask these questions, don't get defensive. Don't say, no, I treat everybody that way.
Yeah.
Like, no, really.
Yeah,
think
look
about
it
with an honest eye.
And, you know, it's kind of maybe an unwittingly thing that you don't even think about. Like, you're trying to be nicer to this person because they are a minority, but in turn, you're actually being racist because you're showing that person special treatment.
Absolutely.
Number C, was the treatment given to the employee different from that given to other workers in general?
Right. So regardless of protected class, let's just say you have two white men under 40 and nobody has a disability.
Yeah.
So they're generally not that protected at that point, right? So did you treat both of them the same?
Yeah.
Like, it just boils down to treating everyone the same.
Yep. Great point. Okay, so that number eight. So those were the three points under point number seven, which was discrimination issues. So number eight, we're going to talk about a different kind of level, which is, was the employee involved under a protected activity? And this is kind of something that I didn't really think about when thinking about this, but that's an important thing. So the first one is involvement in a claim over wages, workers' compensation, or discrimination.
Yeah, absolutely. So if someone has got a claim in against you for, you know, something like this, firing them, probably not the best thing to do, because that's considered retaliation.
Yep. So B, this is what we talked about a little bit earlier, and we had that question about this week, jury or military duty.
Exactly. Both protected activities and in every state in the union.
Yeah.
So no states are going to get by with this, but ask yourself that question. Somebody's gone for jury duty for 3 weeks and you're really getting sick of this. Can't fire them.
Yeah.
And if you do need to fire them during a protected activity, it goes back to, you know, C questions 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, you know, because you have to be able to prove the reason that you're firing them is not related to a protected activity.
Yep, that's right. So the next point would be refusal to commit an illegal act.
Yeah, right. So like, hey, I want you to doctor the books for me and hide the payroll taxes. So if you don't do it, I'm going to fire you. Okay.
Yeah,
so,
that's right. Yeah. another point would be voting.
Yeah, absolutely. Protected activity.
Yep, definitely. Inquiring about the legality of an instruction from the employer.
Exactly. So the employer says, you know, I want you to start classifying everyone as overtime exempt, put them on salary. That way we don't have to pay the overtime thing. And you're like, yeah, I don't think everybody qualifies. Do it anyway.
Yeah.
And then pretty soon you're like looking up information. You're bringing it to big boss saying, hey, I think that some of these people don't qualify. And then suddenly you're terminated.
Yeah.
So that's exactly the kind of stuff that happens.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. Okay, so whistleblowing.
Yeah, of course. If you've got a whistleblowing situation going on, you're not getting terminated right now.
Yeah.
So make sure you're not trying to terminate someone in that circumstance.
That's right. Okay, so point number 9, those were kind of all the points under number 8, which was protected activity. Point number 9, in the case of a simple layoff, is the company using neutral business-related criteria not related to any minority characteristics to evaluate the affected department and select those who will be laid off?
Yeah, so, you know, this is one of those things that sometimes people do unwittingly as well. Like there have been many cases throughout the years of situations where the criteria used to select those who would be laid off affected largely one minority class of individuals. So like maybe we're going to do a layoff. We've got to cut our payroll by 10%. So we're going to do this major layoff. I think that we can probably spare a bunch of day laborers.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's largely going to affect, let's just throw it out there, a population of Hispanic or Latino people, right? So let's just say that. Or maybe it's a population of Navajo out in, you know, Arizona. Or, you know, but this is largely where you're pulling those workers from. Now, those people are largely the ones getting laid off.
Yeah.
We're going to have to rethink the formula that we put together to reduce the payroll for layoffs, because that's affecting a huge class of individuals, and it, even if you don't mean it to, it looks like discrimination, and we can't go down that road.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's some great information on that. That can be kind of a touchy, you know, hard subject, especially to suss out and deal with.
Mm-hmm.
So our 10th and final point, depending on the answers to these questions, the employer may need to seek legal advice prior to taking any adverse job action against the affected employee.
Yeah. And so that's not really a question. That's just a good, solid number 10 statement.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I tell people all the time, they say, well, can I do this and can I do that? And sometimes the answer is very clear.
Yeah.
And sometimes the answer is you're going to have legal advice on that. You know, because you need the backup of an attorney if that this turns sour on you.
Yeah, exactly. So basically, if you can't get to point 9 without there being a problem, that you're probably going to have to seek legal advice.
Exactly. So. And sometimes you're going to be in the middle of legal advice during some of these points. But the keys here are making sure you check all these boxes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I was just thinking a while ago, like as if I was the employer, man, I would print this checklist and put it as a poster on the wall, you know,
kind of thing. Like, exactly.
Because you're always going to run into problems with an employee and you're going to be like, man, it'd just be easy if I could just get rid of them. You
know? I know. That's why I was like, sit down, write this down, type this up and, you know, laminate it, put it on your wall, do whatever you want to do. But these are 10 very important points. Yeah.
Yeah. Next to the cat poster that says, you got it.
Exactly.
The motivation kind of thing.
Exactly.
All right. So that was a pretty quick, easy episode. How do you want to handle this checklist? Do you want to give it out to our listeners?
You know, I guess we could instead of making everybody, now that they've all written it down.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah.
But I know some of you didn't. So, yeah, let's do that. Let's just give it out to them.
Okay. Yeah. So we'll put it on our helpdesksuites.com/podcast page. If you're already a member, there's a button there that says already a member. You log in and then you can download it for free right there. Otherwise, sign up and we'll send that to you via email.
Sounds good to me.
Okay, great. Well, until next time, I'm Mason Merrill.
And I'm Lisa Smith. Be audit secure.
To find out more about us, visit helpdesksuites.com/podcast. Don't forget to rate, subscribe, and review wherever you get your podcasts. And tune in weekly for new episodes.